Hey, today I'd like to start off by just teaching you about what you need in order to survive. And so, like, if your New Year's resolution for 2022 was to survive, then you came to a great Sunday morning, because I'm going to tell you your three basic needs. It doesn't matter where you read, what you read, it's pretty universally agreed upon that there are three things we as humans all need for survival. Here we go. Ready? Number one, food and water. Okay, we're not surprised by that, right? You got to have food, got to have water. Not only is that a need, it's also a great joy. Food is awesome. Chick-fil-A is a big part of my life, and I don't want to be in a world without Chick-fil-A. So there you go. Food and water, basic need. You're not surprised. Number two, basic need for survival is a safe environment. So you need a place that is free from danger and has good air that you can breathe. Again, you're not surprised. You all need that in order to survive. But number three, no matter where you look, no matter what you read, is this. In order to survive, we as humans have a need to be loved and to be accepted. So right up there with food and water and a safe environment is actually our need, our desire to be loved and accepted. The question is, how do we actually go about getting that? Because the thing is, it's not easily like as easily measured as the other two. If you need food and water, that's pretty obvious. You just go figure out how to get food and water. If you need a safe environment, then make sure that your environment is good and you're good to go. But to be loved and accepted, what do we do about that? Well, I want to suggest to you that the primary thing that we do in order to meet that need for ourselves is that we perform. We perform all of the time. Because it's one of our basic needs, performance drives just about everything that we do as a culture. I found out this just a couple of weeks ago that here in the United States of America, we drink 400 million cups of coffee every single day because it helps us perform. And I'll confess, depending on the day, I contribute at least 2 to 4 of those cups. We perform, we perform, we perform. We add performance enhancers to our smoothies and we buy products that perform better than the rest. It's all performance driven. And so if I perform well at work, I might get an award with a plaque and get hung up on the wall, or I might get a bonus or a raise, or I might get a promotion and therefore receive acceptance from those around me, achieve praise and glory. Or if I'm a student and I perform well at school, I might get a good grade. I might even graduate with some cords around my neck, and therefore I'll receive acceptance from those who are nearest to me, and I will receive praise and glory. Or if I perform well on the field or on the court, I might win a game, I might get a trophy, I might even get a scholarship. For me, probably not, but there you go. It's acceptance, it's praise, it's glory. The problem is, you and I have begun to see our performance as the measurement of our acceptance. And that's not good. Because what happens when we aren't performing well, when we aren't performing well, we begin to feel unaccepted. Last night, my wife and I, we were sitting on the couch, we were watching TV, when all of a sudden she flinches and puts her hand on my arm because there was a stink bug that flew over our heads. And so, of course, being the manly husband that I want to be, I want to perform well for my wife. And so I take care of the stink bug. I make sure that it's gone and I step outside to get rid of it. I toss it out. And as I turn around to come back in, out of the corner of my eye, I see a little slithery something. And so I'm dealing with stink bugs and snakes within the matter of 30 seconds. And I, of course, want to be the best husband that I can be, and so I'm trying to get rid of this snake. I got the shovel out, I shine a flashlight on it, it's coiled up in the bottom, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get rid of it. She's watching from inside the house through the window, all scared and awesome, and it's just this very eventful night. But I couldn't get the snake. The snake disappeared underneath the screen door, and as it was going through the screen door, I looked at my wife and through the door said, "It's coming in the house! Run!" It didn't make it into the house because the other door was completely sealed, but I was not ready for that sneaky little slithery snake to slide underneath the door, and then it went either into a hole in the door of the screen door itself or another hole into like the threshold of the house, and I'm like, man, I don't know what to do. I want to be able to perform well, to be a good husband, to take care of snakes so that my wife feels safe, or to fix her dryer so that she can dry her clothes, all of these things. But whenever I don't perform well and I can't do those things, there's a little lie that makes me feel like, man, am I doing a good enough job here, or am I unaccepted here? Maybe you're supposed to feel like you are the type of parent, the dad or mom, who can help your kids with their homework, and so they bring it home and you start to do the math and you're like, man, I don't know what's going on here because they changed this. What's going on with this new math? I don't understand it. I'm so frustrated that they changed it. And there's this little lie in your head that says, man, they must not think that I'm intelligent. I can't perform well in this moment, and so they must not accept me. Or I'm supposed to be a great student in school, but I'm struggling a lot in this class. My parents must be so disappointed. Or I fell short of my goals at the office, and my boss has got to be super angry with me. Or even worse, do we do this sometimes? I sinned again, and so God must desire to reject me. Problem is, when the source of our acceptance is our own performance, we miss out on grace. It just becomes this thing that we put into the back of our mind and we don't remember the truth of the gospel. Today, we are beginning this new series called Rhythms. We're going to spend the next several weeks looking at how we can improve or get back to the rhythms of our daily lives that are going to help us thrive in our discipleship of Jesus Christ. Today, my assignment is to teach you about the rhythms of grace. You and I have a problem, though. And the problem is that our need for acceptance often causes us to miss out on the fact that we have been accepted already. See, the thing that you need to know about grace is that it is an in-your-face reminder that God has accepted you because of Christ's performance, not your own. And so you and I have to learn the rhythms of grace in order to be freed from this performance-driven lifestyle. Maybe you've heard of this story before. It's a legend or a myth, whatever, however you want to slice it. It's the legend of Sisyphus. Here's how the story goes. Sisyphus was a king of the city of Corinth, and he became relatively well known for how he was a trickster. He was a trickery. He was always trying to one-up people in order to receive more power and glory and accolades and more, all of those things. And he specifically, in this legend, became really well known for being able to cheat death twice. And so whenever he actually died, the story goes that Zeus intervenes and he condemns Sisyphus to an eternal punishment of pushing a massive boulder up the top of a mountain. And every single time he would get it right up to the top with just one more small push to get it over, it would become unbearable. And the rock would start to trickle all the way back to the side of the mountain, and he'd have to walk all the way back down and start from the bottom. Again and again and again, he had to push that. And I wonder how many of us, because of our need to be accepted, have a similar struggle as Sisyphus. Constantly feeling like we're pushing a boulder up a hill, trying to perform, trying to receive accolades, trying to receive accomplishments, only then again to let it crush us again and again and again. Aren't you just exhausted? Aren't you weary? Tired? Jesus has good news for you, for me, for all of us today. Matthew chapter 11, he's going to offer us the key to the rhythms of grace that you and I need in order to free ourselves from performance. I like how Eugene Peterson worded it in The Message. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, it'll be up on the screen behind me. Jesus says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Well, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and to live lightly. Listen to what Jesus is saying. The key to the rhythms of grace is life with him. Life with Jesus, not to work for Jesus. Whenever we work for Jesus, we slide into the temptation that we can earn his approval and acceptance. But that's not the gospel. Listen to me. The gospel is this. Your acceptance is not determined by your own performance. It is determined by Christ's performance for you. So you do not have to perform in order to receive his acceptance, his approval, his love. Imagine this. You're walking through the woods one day, yeah? So like you do on a normal day, you just I'm going to go for a walk in the woods. And you stumble across a lumberjack. This lumberjack, you notice, is just like working feverishly to saw down this tree, and he's going at it, and he looks exhausted, he's sweating, red in the face. And so you stop, and you just friendly, politely try to ask him what he's up to. Hey man, what are you doing? And so he frustratingly looks up at you for interrupting his work, and he replies, well, what does it look like I'm doing? I'm trying to saw down this tree. And you say, well man, you look like you're just burnt out, exhausted, tired. How long have you been at it? And so he says to you, well, I've been at it for over 5 hours, and you're right, I'm beat. This is hard work. And so you want to help him, and so you make a suggestion, and you say, why don't you just like take a break for a few minutes and spend some time sharpening your saw? I think that's going to help you go a little bit faster. And he throws up his hands and looks at you and says, I don't have time to sharpen my saw. I'm too busy sawing. That's not very efficient. And I wonder how many of us have forgotten to sharpen our saw, be with Jesus, because we're too caught up in the actual sawing, working for Jesus or for others to receive some sort of acceptance. Your strive to perform in order to receive God's acceptance is going to exhaust you. But if you understand the rhythms of grace, then you will be set free to be with Jesus. There's a guy in the New Testament who figured this out. His name is Paul, and he writes a letter to the Christians in the city of Philippi. It's called Philippians, and he's encouraging them in the gospel when he begins to talk a little bit about himself. It's Philippians chapter 3. We're going to be in verses 3 through 9 today. I want to start with verses 3 through 6, and here's what he writes. Paul says to the church, we rely on what Christ Jesus has done for us. We put no confidence in human effort, though I could have confidence in my own effort or performance, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law, and I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And guys, as for righteousness, you see, I obeyed the law without fault. What's Paul doing here? Here's what I think. I think that he is reflecting on where he used to be. And where he used to be was that he was striving for acceptance with God based upon his performance. And I imagine that as he's writing this, he gets a little bit playful. Gets a little bit humorous. It's kind of like this. How many of you have had a Facebook account for like a long time and then, you know, you do the time hop thing and something pops up that you posted like 10 years ago, or you just got bored one day and so you scrolled all the way down to see what you used to say, what you used to post, all that sort of stuff? If you've done this like I have, you'll find that what you said 10 years ago is often pretty cringy and worth laughing at. I got a treat for you guys today. I did this myself. And I want to share some with you, but you have to understand this was a long time ago and an entirely different Luke Sayer. Here's a post that I posted from 2013, seeing all the posts of kids going back to school and thanking God that I am homeschooled and was able to sleep until 10:30. Oh, and also that I have one Nor week before I begin. I couldn't even spell. As my friend points out in the comments, I might have needed to go back to school a week earlier. Yeah, that's right. Man, it's cringy. 2011, well, I am crushed to say that my mom is making me shave. Here's the end of my no-shave November frowny face. Guys, in 2011, I was 15 years old, and I couldn't have had but three whiskers on my chin. She had every right to make me shave. 2010, I post, do I look like I am 14? Because the sample ladies at Costco keep asking me where my parents are, and it drives me crazy. I just want the samples. Give me the samples. Last one, worst one, 2011, Luke Sayer writes, I can't fathom how awesome I am. Immodest, that's right. Yikes, guys. At the time, you think you're right about everything, funny about everything, relevant with everything, but then you reflect you immediately start to laugh at yourself and where you once were. I think that's what Paul is up to a little bit in this text. Reflecting on where he used to be and saying things like, ooh, can't believe that I said that, or yikes, I can't believe that that's something that I did, or mercy me, I can't believe that's how I used to act. Look at how silly I used to be, striving for God's acceptance through performance and accomplishments. And so he'll continue his thought, verse 7. I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law, or did you catch it? Through performance. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. What did Paul discover that changed his life? He discovered that the grace of God is an in-your-face reminder that you have been accepted by Christ's performance, not by your own. And the only thing required of you is to come in faith, to be with Jesus. I want to take a moment just to be super vulnerable with all of you guys. This has been the hardest sermon for me to prepare and then to get up and deliver. Because this is the tension that I fight every single day. For years and for years, I believed the lie that you are what you do. So I spent the majority of my life performing so that I could gain the acceptance of those who were nearest to me. And if I appeared to do well in school, then I would receive acceptance. Or if I played well in my game, then I would receive acceptance. Or if I learned how to play a musical instrument, then I would receive acceptance. The problem is I started doing the same thing with God. Yes, Lord, I'll serve you. Will you accept me? Yes, Lord, I'll go to Bible college and study hard so that I can receive acceptance. Yes, Lord, I'll go into ministry. Will you accept me? Yes, Lord, today I'll even preach this sermon. Will you accept me? And on and on and on it goes. Even sometimes to this very day, I will still believe the lie that God determines my value based upon what I am able to accomplish for him. But that's a problem because that's not being with Jesus. It's working for Jesus. And if anything, me first, the rhythms of grace are an in-my-face reminder that I have been accepted because of what Christ has accomplished. And the faith that I have in the gospel of Jesus Christ has set me free from performance. And now I, just like all of you, must learn to accept grace and to be with Jesus rather than to ignore it and to perform for him. John chapter 6, verse 29, Jesus is talking with a group of people. And these people ask him, they literally say, we want to perform God's works. That's what comes out of their mouth. We want to perform God's works. What should we do? Jesus says, replies to them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. You do not have to perform for acceptance or approval or love or praise or glory. Someone once said, God didn't save you to be in sensation. He saved you to be a servant, and you can serve with him through faith in what he has already accomplished for you. The key to the rhythms of grace is life with Jesus. And so let's throw this back on the screen because it's a great pastoral word for us this year as we begin 2022. Are you tired? Jesus asks, are you worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And so the question we have to ask is, how do we begin a new year that keeps company with Jesus? I want to tell you today, we have to establish a daily rhythm that strengthens our soul and that reminds us that grace means we have been accepted already. So with the time that we have left together today, I just want to offer you as many practical suggestions as I can for you to keep company with Jesus starting right now in the year 2022. How do we keep company with Jesus? The first thing that we're going to do is we are every single day going to start with Jesus. I've heard it before. The strongest people of faith are the ones whose knees hit their ground every single morning before their feet do. And if you want to be with Jesus, then you need to start your day with him. How many of you in the room are morning people? Where are my morning people at? Yeah, got some hands up in the room, boom. I was expecting some hooting and hollering because it's the morning time, but you're a morning person. This is whenever your brain is active, whenever you're most energetic, whenever you're thinking well. This is like means that you have no excuse. This is the best time for you to spend time with Jesus each day. Start with Jesus. How many of you hate mornings, can't talk to anybody until you've had 10 cups of coffee and would really rather sleep till 10 a.m. every day? Where are you guys? Yeah, you can admit it. They're like, I'm not raising my hand because it is before 10 a.m. Okay, yeah. Listen, this is the time of the day whenever you're a little bit sluggish, whenever you have to take a minute to wake up, whenever you might be a little bit more irritable. That's okay. You know what that means? All the more reason to spend time with Jesus. Start your day with Jesus. Here are some things that you can do. Maybe this year you need to pick up a daily devotional. Things like these often help guide our thoughts and our prayers as we contemplate and deepen our discipleship of Jesus Christ, and they can make a big impact in your life. I want to make a few recommendations. First one is this. This is the one I use every morning. It's called My Utmost for His Highest. It's by Oswald Chambers. It's one page a day, and it really helps get your mind going and your prayers going in the morning. Great resource. I encourage you to pick it up. There's another one that our staff really likes by Paul David Tripp called New Morning Mercies. Again, a great resource for you to begin. If you're a teenager or you have a teenager, I recommend this one called Knowing Jesus. It's a great way to begin your day in that devotional. Maybe you don't want to pick up a devotional, but you want to do something. We've talked about a Bible reading plan. If you want to be with Jesus, then you'll need to learn what he says. And he speaks to us primarily through this book. And so you've got to know this book. Maybe you need to read through the Bible this year. We've got that 5-day Bible reading plan out in the concourse. There are tons of other plans on the great wide web. Choose one that works for you and get going. Maybe you can start with Jesus by doing Quest 52 with us. We're doing it as a church this year. It's 15 minutes every day, Monday through Friday. And the whole point, not that we know more about Jesus, but that we know Jesus more, that we journey, that we meet him, that we're with him. We're going to do this with you. But the point, whatever you do, prayer, devotional, Bible reading, it doesn't matter. Just do something. The point is to start with Jesus. And if you want to keep company with Jesus as you begin this year, you're going to start with him each day, and then you're going to stay with him. Jesus does not leave your side once you say amen in the morning. So why on earth would you leave his side once you leave that chair? We are going to look for ways, opportunities throughout our day this year to keep company with Jesus. So here are some, again, practical things you can do. Maybe you've got a big commute, a small commute, take kids to school, pick kids up from school, go to work. Use your commute time well. Tune into a Christian playlist or the Christian radio and just seriously tune out everything else and sing praises to the Lord and worship him because he is good and mighty and strong and faithful. Maybe you need to find a nice podcast that's going to push you and deepen your discipleship of Jesus. Find it and begin to listen to it in the car and on your way home, or an audiobook or something like that. Maybe you're the type of person who the only time you get that's quiet throughout your entire day is when you're alone in the car. Well, then keep the radio off. Turn it off and just begin to pray. Use your commute time well so you can stay with Jesus throughout your day. And if you do pray in the car, just remember to not close your eyes. That would be bad. Maybe you need to stay with Jesus by doing something at lunch. Remember, we all eat. That's one of our basic needs for human survival. So during your lunchtime, maybe you can pray over the names of the people in your life, like the people in your small group. And if you're not in a small group, is not a better time to start one than right now, or to be a part of one than right now. Pray over the names of your family, your kids, your spouse, your siblings, your parents, your grandparents. Pray over the people that you work with. Here's the catch. You might be the only person who prays for someone that day. So use your lunchtime well to make a huge difference. Maybe during your lunchtime, you can do something like memorize scripture. I want to teach you something today. Memorization of scripture did not have to stop when you graduated children's church. You can still do that. Psalm chapter 119, verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you. Would you guys like to stop sinning? I know I would. Memorizing scripture might just help. And so write it out in a journal over and over again until you've got it down. Maybe you need to hit this resource up. This is one that I use. It's super helpful. I got through college with it. Go to scripturetyper.com. Scripturetyper.com, create a free account and get to memorizing scripture right away. Whatever you do, prayer, devotional, Bible reading, scripture memorization, just do something. The whole point is to be with Jesus, and we're going to do that by starting with him, staying with him, and then you guessed it, we're going to end with him. So we're at nighttime now. How many of you are the night owls in the room? This is where you get your chance to shine. Night owls in the room, this is like you don't want to go to bed until it's after midnight. You're ready to go. You're pumped up. This is the time of day when you're most energetic, when your brain's firing the most, whenever you are able to accomplish a lot. Well, then there's no excuse for you to not spend time with Jesus. But those of you who are morning people, by the time 8 o'clock comes around, you're just ready to go to bed. That's whenever you get the most irritable. Whenever you're ready to just shut down, all the more reason to spend time with Jesus. So here are some things you can do to end your night. Maybe you need to start a prayer journal. Tell God about what happened throughout your day. What was a win? What was tough? Where did you see him? Don't get into the habit of praying something silly like Dear Diary. Pray, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you did in my life today. It doesn't take that long to fill one page in a small notebook. Maybe that's a great way for you to end every day with Jesus. Maybe you need to gather your family together, kids and spouse, maybe all at the same time, maybe at separate times, and spend time in prayer together. This is something that my family did every single night when I was a kid. But at a certain point, it just stopped. And I'd wish that it hadn't. Gather your family and pray with them every single night, especially whenever you think they're too old for that. Especially do that. Hey, if you're a teenager in the room, can I challenge you? Take initiative. You be the one that says, hey, mom, hey, dad, this is something I'd like to do. This is what we need to do as a family. And you gather them together and you begin to pray as a family every single night. Maybe you need to pray with your spouse every single night before the lights are turned out. This is what my wife and I have been doing in our short time as a married couple. And no, we're not perfect, because there are times where she's praying and before she says amen, I'm already snoring. But the whole point is to establish a daily rhythm that helps strengthen our soul, that helps us to keep company with Jesus. Whatever you do, prayer, devotional, Bible reading, just do something. The point is to be with Jesus. Simple message, simple sermon, keep company with Jesus. What I've just described for you, start, stay, and end, is traditionally known as a daily office. It's keeping company with Jesus throughout your day. And as you start 2022, you can do it exactly like I've suggested it. You can do it somewhat like I've suggested it, or you can do it completely differently than I've suggested it. It really doesn't matter, because it's not about performance. The whole point is to just be with Jesus. One more time for all of us. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus asks, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion or performance? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and to live lightly. The more that you are with Jesus, the more that you will discover that your acceptance is based upon his performance, not upon yours. And grace is an in-your-face reminder of that truth. Bottom line today, keep company with Jesus, and you will learn the rhythms of grace. And so I want to challenge you this week as you begin this new year. The challenge is this, and we're going to call it Try 555 This Week. And I know that that's confusing for all of you, but that's why I'm going to explain it. What I mean by Try 555 This Week is I want you to start with Jesus by doing 5 minutes I want you to stay with Jesus by doing 5 minutes sometime around lunch. And I want you to end with Jesus by doing 5 minutes before you go to bed. We've got 15 minutes in our days, and this is something we can all do. So try the 5-5-5 this week. Maybe you've got your connection cards out and you have kind of been missing out on some of your time with the Lord, and you're saying, maybe my next step is that I need to take this challenge. I need to try 5-5-5 every single day this week. Maybe you want to up it. You want to do 10-10-10, 15-15-15, whatever you need to do. The whole point is to keep company with Jesus so that we can remind ourselves over and over and over again that we are accepted because of Christ's performance, not because of our own. There's a book coming out soon. It's called Soul Strength, and the author tells the story of a time whenever he was prompted to read 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12, but to replace the word love with the word accept. And as we wrap up today, pastorally, I think I'd just like to do the same. And I'd like to read that over each of you. And so I want you to just take a second. I want you to get comfortable. I'm not going to throw it up on the screen because the whole point is not for you to follow along, but the point is for you to listen to the truth about what God says about you. So take a moment, get comfortable, close your eyes if you need to, and let's listen to what God says about us. Dear friends, let us continue to accept one another, for acceptance comes from God. Anyone who accepts is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not accept does not know God. For God is acceptance. God showed how much he accepted us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real acceptance. Not that we accepted God, but that he accepted us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God accepted us that much, we surely ought to accept each other. God lives in us, and his acceptance is brought to full expression in us. Maybe today, you need to experience the grace of God for the first time in your life. You need an in-your-face reminder that God has accepted you because of Christ's accomplishments, because of Christ's work, because of Christ's performance, not because of your own. Because if it was up to you, if it was up to your own performance, you would be out of luck and out of hope, because we don't measure up. Christ measured up for us. He took our place. It's all based upon his performance. And maybe this is the time right now, the beginning of the year 2022, where you need to respond in faith and you need to say, I am all in. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior because I know that God has accepted me solely because of what Christ had done. And I come in faith to say that. Maybe that's the decision you need to make or the decision you need to begin having conversations about. Well, I want to invite you to not waste this morning and make that decision or have a conversation about it. If you're watching online or if you're in the room and you want to head to this website, corinth.cc/decided, this is where you can tell us about what the Lord is doing in your life, about the next step that you are wanting to take. Maybe you're in the room and you've got your connection card. You want to tell us how the Lord is working in your life, the next step that he's encouraging you to take. Maybe you're watching online or you're just in the room and you are exhausted, you're worn out, you're weary, you're tired. You just need prayer. You need to tell someone that I just want to do a better job of keeping company with Jesus so that I can find rest from all of the weariness of my life. No matter what decision it is, no matter what prayer need it is, you can put it on your connection card, or even better, you can come meet me right here once we're dismissed. I would love to talk and encourage you and pray with you today. Don't miss the moment to respond to the movement of the Spirit today. God, you are good. And we know that you are good because we have seen it time and time and time again. You have been so faithful to us. And God, we just want to be faithful back. As we begin a new year, as we think through all that's to come, all of the ups, all of the joys, all of the great experiences, as well as all of the lows and all of the grief and all of the hurt that might await us, we just want to be with you through all of it. So God, help us to keep company with you. Help us to be reminded that there is nothing that we can do for you or for others that would make you accept us more than you already have. Thank you for the grace that reminds us over and over again that your son's performance is what allows you to accept us, is what gives you the grace to extend our way. God, we pray that you would do big things in this room, in this very moment, and that all of us would take a challenge, take a next step, and keep company with you today, tomorrow, and this year. We love you, our King Jesus. It is in your name we pray. Amen.